This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. It has become increasingly obvious that issues of energy and environment cannot be ignored if development, economic fortitude, and societal well-being are the goals of any country. So back in 2011, Malaysia had an ambitious plan to build a green economy in line with all of this. And joining me today to discuss what a truly green economy looks like and what Malaysia's National Green Economy Framework reflects is Yang Bahagia, Datuk Seri Dr. Zaini Bin Ujang, the Secretary General of the Ministry of Energy, Green Technology and Water Malaysia, or KETA. And Dr. Zaini will also be speaking at the 13th Asia Pacific Roundtable on Sustainable Consumption and Production, which is themed Enabling Sustainable Consumption and Production Towards Achieving Green Growth. Welcome, Dr. Sri, how are you today?
Thank you. I'm great today.
So for those unfamiliar, could you tell us what falls under the purview of the Ministry of Energy, Green Technology and Water?
Probably this is the longest name of a ministry in Malaysia. In short, we call it KETA. Mm-hmm. KETA is mainly formulating and implementing policies in relation to electricity, green technology and water sectors. So water has two components. One is water supply and sewerage. Mm-hmm.
And back in 2011, you know, Malaysia had a very ambitious plan to build a green economy. You know, what did Malaysia's national green economy actually reflect?
Yeah, in relation to the formulation of a new ministry at that time, KETA was established in 2009. Mm-hmm. On the same cabinet reshuffle, I think, the government announced the formation of MGTC, Malaysia Green Tech Corporation. Mm-hmm. It means that we are going to be empowering the economy of Malaysia with the sustainability component, right, which is very important. In the past, people talk about socioeconomic components of any development, less on environmental sustainability in particular. Mm-hmm. So by having that green technology, we are trying to implement a set of policies that can spur the growth of green technology. I give you this very important development. In 2017, in March this year, the Council of Green Technology and Climate Change, chaired by Prime Minister, has approved our new Green Technology Master Plan, mm-hmm, from 2017 to 2030. I think this is more relevant now because it is partly our response to SDG, Sustainable Development Goal, 2015, yep, 2030. So in that situation, what we are trying to do is to adjust our economic activities so that green component is part of it. And this is what people are talking about. We are talking about low carbon emission. At the same time, we have to increase our carbon sink. It means that the forest cover, the green cover should be increased. So this is very important in relation to that. But the benchmark is very simple. It's carbon footprint. Sustainability has very important distinct character, I would say character, because people, when talk about sustainability, people are talking about carbon. Mm-hmm. And carbon is the currency.
Yes.
Yeah, it's no longer specific pollutants in the environment. It's no longer specific activities in the environment. So we take it as a whole, and it is called carbon footprint, and it is measured in the units called metric ton year per capita. Yep. So in Malaysia, we have 8.2 at the moment, compared to advanced country, I don't want to name a country.
Best not to, yes.
So they have 16. Japan in particular, the Japan people thought that they are very clean. Yes, they are very clean, but in terms of sustainability, they have about 10 metric ton per capita per, mm-hmm, year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in terms of overall sustainability, Malaysia is ranked better than many countries, okay, including our neighboring countries. This is due to the fact that our carbon sink is big, our carbon emission is controlled, mm-hmm, and we are reducing activities such as MRT, LRT, where people commute by using public transport, reduce the carbon emission because we are no longer traveling in a car alone, mm-hmm, to work, mm-hmm, that generate a lot of carbon emission every day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what you're trying to say is we're moving forward, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we did attend COP21. We did sign to the Paris Agreement. So we have certain things that we need to do. But I mean, just on a more local level, what are the pillars of Malaysia's national green technology policy? Because I mean, technology is something that is spearheading everything at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Towards our green economy. So what are the pillars?
There are three components, which is very important for us to understand. First is how to have a low carbon development, in particular, low carbon city. For example, that's very important. Second, how can we offset our carbon emission we produce? Yeah, and third, how can best we measure all this so that people know we are in what direction? This is very important. So this is overall. I don't want to be too theoretical about it. At ground level, say for example in KL, we have implemented a lot from your office. I would say that's a lot of green here.
Yes.
But not many cities in the world have this much in terms of green covers in big cities. Mm-hmm. It is very expensive to have that land dedicated for trees, you know. So for many people, it is impossible. Therefore, they have at the rooftop, they have in their balconies
gardens,
and whatnot, but not landed. So this is something that we have to. The second point I'm going to raise, we encourage a lot of activities towards green technology, green lifestyle. The announcement of a new corridor in Malaysia, which is MVV, Malaysia Vision Valley, is to be powered by green technology.
Okay.
So MVV is going to be between Nilai to Seremban, and this is double the size of Singapore.
Okay.
Yeah. So by doing that, we are very serious. We have gone through various discussions, and they are now heading towards the final proposal to be implemented, and green technology going to be their enablers in order to grow in that particular vicinity. And what we have, not only the technology we want to adopt, industries coming to that region or regional development zone should comply with certain green technology requirements. Say, for example, they must be able to use energy as efficient as possible, water to be recycled at a certain rate, rainwater harvesting to be part of the residential and commercial activities. Say, for example, we have more dedicated public transports, cycling going to be part of the community activities or something like that. So this is important for us to translate our green technology policy into action at local level.
So this is going to be like a community, so like a business, a residential, so it's like a huge project.
Huge project. Cyberjaya is the first.
Yeah.
The enabler for Cyberjaya is digital technology, ICT.
Right.
But for MVV, it's green technology. So I'm very grateful because I'm from Negeri Sembilan personally. And I'm also working for a ministry that's in charge of green technology. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
And this has already started or already in the works?
Already started. And the Prime Minister announced about 3 months ago that we are going to embark on this in a big way.
All right. So we look forward to that.
Yes.
That's something very exciting happening. So how does the whole concept of green technology, you know, how does it attempt to strengthen the economy? And who are your target groups, you know, when you're working? Is it the industries that you're targeting?
Yeah. Green technology is very close to us. I would like to have an analogy of ICT. It's very close to us. We don't have to become an expert on ICT to embrace ICT. Every day we are using computer, we are using smartphone, we are using many, many ICT gadgets at home and while working. 20 years ago, if a computer is in front of you, you need a technician to be standby, preparing for us to use it. But now we can do it ourselves. I've seen yourself. You fix everything in front of me. So you don't need technicians to do that. ICT technician means ICT is already part of us. The same thing going to happen to green technology. Green technology, I give you an example. What we are trying to do, number one, is to be more efficient in terms of our resources. And the most 76% in Malaysia of our carbon emission is come from energy-related activities, mainly power generations, transportation. These are we generate a lot of carbon emission from these activities. So if we are able to reduce carbon, not only at demand or at supply level. Yeah, not only at supply, I mean supply, power generators, producer of vehicles and whatnot, but also at demand level, we ourselves can do something. So it must be translated into that form. Carbon emission can be reduced at home, say, for example, by having a better 5-rated energy-saving air conditioner, say, for example, your office air conditioner must be 5-star rated. By using that, you used a fraction of energy that you require compared to old technology.
Exactly.
Yeah, you use better refrigerator at home. Yeah, of course, the refrigerator initial cost probably is slightly higher.
Exactly.
But long term, you are paying less. And other gadgets that we use on daily basis, iron, say, for example. The second point is we have to use at certain rate, certain level of our other resources, such as water, water supply at home. Since water and electricity are heavily subsidized in the country, so if you use less, it means that less subsidy given to the sector. At the same time, we reduce our carbon emissions. People said, what's wrong with our water supply? Water supply is subsidized at the upstream operation.
Understood.
Dams, building of dams, building of water storage, facilities, all subsidized. Dams are very expensive. It's a billion business.
Yeah.
Involve a lot of impact to environment. If you reduce water consumptions, at the moment, the rate of water consumption in the country overall is about 220 liter day per capita. Yeah? And our target in 11 Malaysian plan is 180.
Okay.
So we should be able to reduce it. People say that, oh, we take wudu 5 times a day, we take shower twice. Okay, that's the calculation. But other countries, Singapore, they have now less than 150 liter day per capita. I'm very sure in Singapore, so they take shower twice, and for Muslim, they take wudu. What is important is our understanding. The sustainable demand that I mentioned earlier in our discussion is very important. So by doing that, we are going to reduce our water resources to be exploited further. Second, 40% of the water operations in Malaysia in particular, the data that I have, is to pay electricity.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to pump water from point A to point B, from point B to point C, from point C to point D, is all using pumping facilities. So it means a lot of electricity also required. And electricity means a lot more fossil fuel to be
burnt.
It means that a lot more carbon to be emitted.
And so we're not going to meet our goals if we keep...
If you do the same, yeah?
Yeah, if it's just business as usual,
yes.
Right? So I suppose that's where your ministry is coming in, you know, telling us, embrace new technology. This is the way forward.
Yeah.
I'm speaking today to Yang Bahagia, Datuk Sri Dr. Zaini bin Ujang, the Secretary General of the Ministry of Energy, Green Technology and Water Malaysia, or QATAR, and we're discussing Malaysia's move towards green technology in line with keeping global carbon emissions down. We'll continue our discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. Joining me in the show today is Yang Bahagia, Datuk Sri Dr. Zaini bin Ujang, the Secretary General of the Ministry of Energy, Green Technology and Water Malaysia, or QATAR. And we're discussing Malaysia's efforts in reducing carbon emissions through a move to green technology. So consumer demand is set to grow significantly over the next few years, especially with the increase of middle-class consumers, especially in emerging markets. But, I mean, as we all know, our resources are getting scarce, and degradation of our natural ecosystems, especially in Malaysia, we've seen, you know, a lot of deforestation happening. So what are the challenges that need to be understood in terms of the value of natural systems or natural capital, as it's known, that we rely on? So I'm talking about, you know, our forests, the things that we have.
As I mentioned, in order to comply with sustainability concepts, we have to have two. One is to reduce carbon emission, to enhance our carbon sink.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon sink is in the form of forest cover.
Our natural resources.
Greening our cities. Yeah, so this is something important for us. But I would like to start, according to World Bank data, Malaysia ranked 4th in the world in terms of forest cover in the world. We have 67.7%. This is not me to come to. This is according to the report by World Bank. So we are very grateful that we are at that level at the moment, especially if you go to Sabah and Sarawak. In Sabah, say, for example, logging is no longer practiced. Yeah? In state of Negeri Sembilan, logging is no longer applicable. Mm-hmm. And few states, they instead of having logging activities, they have ecotourism, which is more lucrative. You get people coming clean and they are nature lovers. They come and they spend a lot of money in your country. They visit your site. You don't have to provide 5-star facilities for them. These people, they like nature. So, and this is something interesting. So by doing that, we encourage our people as well to protect natural ecosystem. Natural ecosystems is very important for us because it is our natural lungs in our system. Yeah, oxygen will be produced by greens through photosynthesis process, and CO2 will be absorbed by photosynthesis.
Yeah.
So the more greens we have, the more CO2 will be captured, will be sink in the system. Therefore, we have to have a lot. Therefore, in many local developments, the requirement for number of trees to be planted is very important for us to understand.
Yeah.
I give you an example. We are going to host SEA Games,
yes,
2017. And I'm very grateful to mention this. In order to be distinct, not only in terms of sport performance, but in terms of organization of SEA Games, the government of Malaysia has agreed to make it a green SEA Games.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's very important. And my colleagues from KETA are working very closely with many ministries, in particular Ministry of Youth and Sports. To at least to have a distinct character of the games. We want the games to be mentioned, and not only in terms of sports performance, but also as awareness to the public on green initiatives. So what we are trying to do, we are trying to reduce the percentage of electricity utilized by 15%. The amount of solid waste generated by 30% to be reduced.
Okay.
And we are also encouraging people to travel with MRT, LRT, whatever, to the venues. We are going to prepare a lot of buses to take people to commute.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to provide bicycle at the venue. So you can, from point one to point two, you don't have to drive.
Drive, yeah.
You can cycle, you can walk. And what is also important, the carbon generated from these activities will be, we will offset them with the planting of trees. So
in,
this
in
is very
city?
Important. Yeah, this is very real.
Mm-hmm.
We are counting. My colleagues at the ministry is now working on the calculation.
Okay.
So amount of trees to be planted is depending on the amount of CO2 that we produce, exceed the number that we already calculated.
Okay.
So it means there's a lot of activities of planting trees in the country. Yeah, I'm very grateful because companies, private corporations also involved in sponsoring these activities.
Okay, and the tree planting, I suppose, will happen after. So once the...
Yeah, we know the amount of CO2 that we emitted, and then we will offset them.
Okay. And what are your recommendations, personally, for sound natural capital management? I mean, we all know the benefits for companies, investors, communities, environments, but what is your recommendation to get this done?
Therefore, we have Green Technology Master Plan 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a simple-minded person, so normally whenever we write something, document on policy-related, we make it very simple. So
as it
in
should
one
be.
Page. So I can show you here, but let me read first.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, in order to have a sound natural capital management, we have to have few components, yeah, on environmental sustainability. This is very important for us in order to make sure that our market system in Malaysia very dynamic, at the same time going to improve whatever we have in the country. I give you an example. When Green Sukuk was announced to finance a project, a solar energy project in Sabah, so people ask us, what's so special about Green Sukuk? Green Sukuk has two major components. One, sukuk means Islamic finance.
Okay.
Second is green. What does it mean by green? It means that there are certain targets that we have to comply. Say, for example, how much trees that we want to protect? What is the carbon footprint that we are looking at? But if you take carbon footprint, it will encompassing almost everything. Yeah, so that's much easier rather than to be specific on many activities. So it depends on you to blend. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a bit on this, but you have to offset with other activities.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people are very critical of why you do this, but we have to look into a big picture. Sometimes in certain situation, you will not be able to comply too many things that you are targeting, especially at initial stage during construction, say, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be effect. But after that, you offset with other things. Yeah, to be too perfect sometime, ideally it is great, but in implementation, it's very difficult for people to implement. So I think your question can be answered by implementing or first understanding. Therefore, I have only one page. And then to implement them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And the target is not a rigid target. In fact, the 3 weeks after we completed this master plan, we realized that there are certain components we did not include in our calculation on renewable energy, say, for example.
Right.
At the moment, renewable energy in Malaysia is 22.5%. When we calculated, it was 18.4%, excluding grid system,
okay,
microgrids.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of microgrids in the country. Say, for example, palm oil mills, say, for example. They are very far away. They have their own grids. Yeah, and they use biomass to generate electricity.
Yeah.
And not only for the industry, but also for the community around it. So when we calculated to include everything, it's about 22.5%. That was 3 or 4 weeks after we adopted 18.4% renewable energy in our energy mix. It means that we are progressing and we keep on adding the numbers. But what is important, having that, it means that we have to measure, we have to monitor, we have to keep on improving.
Yeah.
If we don't have that policy, I'm very sure we are not interested to measure, we are not interested to monitor. So this is something that I would like to share, and then I hope public at large can understand this very well.
So, I mean, you mentioned the biggest challenge here is, I suppose, implementation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are the ministry and, you know, regulators, how should you work together with businesses, for example, to promote, a green economy, for example?
So we do two things. One is regulatory that required. So it is easy if you go to the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
Energy generation, say, for example, we go to large-scale solar program so that they can slowly, in our energy transition, can make solar more prominent. And that require billions and billions. Yeah. So in order to be in the team or within that framework, these companies must comply, A, B, C, D, F. That's one part.
Right.
The second part is to enlarge the facility so that others can also benefit. Therefore, we have Green Technology Financing Scheme, GTFS. We have completed the first cycle, 3.5 billion schemes. It's already, I think, we have completed the cycle. So the second cycle after the council meeting on March 2nd, we add another 5 billion. So this is the second portion. Overall, it's about 8.5 billion Green Technology Financing Scheme that we have in the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is allowing companies interested to be in green technology industry to grow, and then they have financing palatable to them. The third, which is very important, we have also promotion on lifestyle. I think, as I mentioned, it is not only about supply. It must be demand. The more demand you have, the more supply going to be in place.
Yeah.
And I keep on to this morning. I tweeted sustainability equal to sustainable demand plus sustainable supply plus sustainable financing. Without these three components, supply, demand, and financing, you will not be able to get sustainability implemented in Malaysia. But we are very lucky because our country is handsomely rated credit rating in terms of credit rating. So therefore, our credit facilities very palatable to many companies. Mm-hmm. There are many people around this region came to Malaysia asking, how can you embark on solar energy? So for example, we are the third biggest solar manufacturing country in the world. And they are also asking, how can you introduce solar penetration to our system, especially to power grids? Partly because of financing that we have. Financial standing, not the company, but the country as a whole. As a result, whatever investment in the country, you get very, very palatable credit rating and very palatable interest for people to embark on it.
Okay, so it's all linked, and essentially everything is, I mean, if you're not financed, how are you going to do any of this, right?
Yeah, you're not talking about 200 ringgit.
No.
You're talking about 2 billion.
Exactly, or 1
more. 1 billion, yeah. Yeah. If you have 10% interest, say for example, you are paying the bank instead.
Yeah.
So we have very palatable, I think, between 5-6%, which is very good.
So, I mean, you were talking about renewable energy. You know, what are the potentials for it, but also the limitations as far as you're concerned?
Renewable energy has a lot of components. At the moment, as I mentioned, the renewable energy in energy mix in Malaysia is about 22.5, largely hydro. Mm-hmm. In the short period of time before 2020, we are going to have close to 2,000 megawatt solar panel in the system. And post-2020, it will be about 3,500. So we cannot go beyond 11% or 12% of the total energy that we produce. That is only solar. We have also a small hydro going to be in place, biomass, biogas. Recently, Government of Malaysia has agreed to award a project to a company to work on waste to energy. This is big. We can reduce our issues on waste disposal. At the same time, we can generate electricity. But there are three concerns in this. One, often renewable energy is depending on weather conditions. Say, for example, solar.
Yeah.
As far as calculation is concerned, the Energy Commission strictly or maintain that the penetration or the availability is only for 4 hours a day. Because when you have cloud, 9 o'clock, you don't get what you require. And whatever energy generated, you must accept in the grid system. Mm-hmm. So it means that the grid must be well maintained and managed. And power grid is something very, very important for us to understand before we understand the whole thing. When you produce and you generate electricity, you supply to power grid.
Okay.
Say, for example, today we are going to use 20 megawatt electricity in Semenanjung. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Semenanjung. So you must be able to identify who will be the generators for today. By, say, for example, 5 o'clock yesterday.
Okay, yeah? So there's a lot of planning.
A lot of planning. So you say that, okay, in our system, 10% will come from solar. And according to weather forecast, we are not sure, could be rain tomorrow, but some places will be cloudy. So you must be able to predict how much is available for tomorrow from solar. Mm-hmm. Whatever we produce from solar, we accept 100%.
Right.
Just so there are inconsistency in the system, fluctuation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So from grid management point of view, it is a great challenge.
Okay.
Because we don't want interruption in the system. And our interruption rate is very, very interesting. We are better than many countries. As far as electricity generation, one of my KPIs, this is my KPIs, otherwise I'll not get salary as required, as stated. This KPI of my minister as well, Datuk Sri Dr. Maximus Onkili. Our KPI, there are a few. One of them is SAIDI, Standard Interruption Duration Index. So how long a year electricity is interrupted? That is my KPI.
That's a tough KPI.
It's a tough KPI. But I want to mention about two important criteria. One, our average, the country average is about 50 minutes this year. 50 minutes include Sabah and Sarawak, where interruption occurred quite often. In Sabah, it's about 250 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so not the whole part, but some portion. So you have to, there are calculations. So it means that not exceeding 250 this year. But for the whole Malaysia, it's 50. Some pockets of area in Malaysia, township in Malaysia, they are less than 5 minutes. Putrajaya is 3 minutes.
Oh,
yeah, and it is better than Singapore overall. Yeah, so some places they are better than 5 minutes as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to name the place, but Putrajaya is one of them. So it means that we have to be able to produce electricity reliable enough to the consumers.
Yeah, of course.
So you don't have interruption. Some places, you know, I've visited many countries in the world. Some places we have to change a meeting room because in that particular area there will be no electricity between 8 to 5 o'clock where we move our meeting place. So this is something very interesting I can tell you about. The second point is the pricing. One is the reliability. Second is the pricing. Renewable energy is still new technology. Mm-hmm. To get finance, you have to pay higher rates,
for sure.
higher interest rate. Not only that, the technology is not yet matured. Yeah, so bankers, I'm not talking about administrators. Administrators, they are well-trained to promote technology. But sometimes bankers are very skeptical. Therefore, we are organizing a lot of activities with banking sector at the moment. We are going to have a workshop together with investment arms of many institutions, including banks, with Bank Negara in a very short period of time.
Sure.
This is to make sure that renewable energy is understood in a proper manner. Otherwise, there will be no go. So a lot of activities that we're going to embark on renewable energy will not be in place. At the moment, our average tariff is 38.53 cents.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In order to produce energy using coal, say for example, it costs us about 24, 25 cents per kilowatt hour that you inject to the national grid. In order to use, say for example, gas, yeah, so it's about 35, 36, 37 cents. Remember, our levelized tariff is 38.53.
Yeah.
The cheapest solar, large-scale solar we have is about 40 cents. Higher than the levelized tariff. And it is between 40 to 43, 44 cents. The more solar you have, the more expensive the tariff will be.
Right.
So I have to state that very clearly. Yeah, okay. We agree on solar, but the pricing, this is through tender, bid open tender. The cheapest is 39 point something, make it 40 cents.
Okay.
Yeah, but the levelized tariff is 38.53. So you must keep the tariff low. And to make sure that the renewable energy options that we have is cheaper. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the market to get cheap technology, the technology is cheap. But the financing is expensive because the risk assessment on the technology is not there. Bankers will ask you, how many experts to man this? How many experts locally available for you to operate this, to maintain this? After 3 years, you have to do maintenance. How many of them? This is all done by bankers. Mm-hmm. And they put very high in terms of risk portfolio to this technology. So we need time, probably another 5-10 years, it will be much cheaper.
Okay.
Because of financing issue.
I guess then, you know, what would be the socio-economic impacts of the sustainable energy transition, especially, you know, in terms of job creation and energy pricing? I mean, these are the things that I suppose the bankers need to know as well, right?
Yeah, the economic impact is very big. Therefore, we have MVV, Malaysia Vision Valley. Mm-hmm. We think that Malaysians now are sophisticated enough to choose that sustainable living is better than non-sustainable living. I mean, if your housing estate is full of trees, say, for example, with parks, with bicycle lane, I think people are willing to pay extra.
For sure.
Compared to, say, for example, without all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I'm very sure if you have MRT close to your house, you are willing to pay more because of that facilities. So this is part of sustainability. You provide what is needed so that people can live easier, healthier, greener in that sense. So that is the demand side. So the demand is to be made available. we hope that MVV could be exemplary for other local authorities, that greens sell. Whatever you do on green initiative, there will be people willing to pay. We were debating whether to have 55-kilometer cycling lane or 1,000-kilometer cycling lane last week.
What a nice problem to have.
So I said, make it 1,000. I will promote MVV for that matter.
Okay. And I guess, you know, what are your hopes then for the country's environmental outlook for the next 5 to 10 years?
I am a practical man. I'm trained as an engineer. So normally I will do things easy for me to practice and at the same time for people to understand. I think let's talk about what we can do together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, personally and professionally, I think if we can reduce our electricity consumption or increase energy efficiency will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Energy efficiency in Malaysia is still something that people are not interested to look at. Say, for example, if I give you an example, this is what I've done last week. If you want to buy a new air conditioner, ranges from 800 to 1,200.
Yeah.
If you buy 5-star rated energy saving, it's 1,200. If you buy 1-star rated, you get it 800. So some people say, okay, go for 800 because it's cheaper. But you must remember, you have to pay additional 30 ringgits a month if you use that.
In terms of electricity, right?
Electricity. But not only that, you are using a lot of energy, thus produce a lot of CO2, emission generated from the activities.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, your equipment is not efficient. Yeah, it's not good. So try to embark on energy efficiency. Countries like Japan, they are not increasing the renewable energy in their energy mix until 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they stay at 24%.
Okay.
We have 22 at the moment, 25. And we are migrating to 30% by 2030 based on Green Technology Master Plan.
That's very good, yeah.
But what Japanese doing now, they are working on energy efficiency by 18%. For them, if they reduce the amount of energy generated, the CO2 emission will be reduced.
There's a link
automatically.
Yeah, obviously.
Link.
Yeah.
So we have to look at the big picture. Why you do this? Because it is all within the sustainable development framework.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned earlier, carbon is the transaction, is the currency. So if you can reduce currency, carbon, by just having reduction in your demand, it means that you are progressing very well. And at the same time, you change gadgets. Yeah, you go to more modern gadgets. And knowing Japan, they are very good in this technology. So they want to promote. Everyone will replace their aircon, say, for example, 5 years ago. And then every 10 years, they change to new aircon.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be good for your business,
mm-hmm.
Electronic business. So that is number one. Number two is water consumption. I am very concerned about 220 liter day per capita. I promised myself before I complete my cycle as a professional, I'm trained as an environmental engineer. Water is my passion. It's not my forte, my passion. So I think 180 is doable, provided similar to what we are doing to our electricity, we change gadgets. We change our water meters in particular. After 8 or 10 years, make it 10 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Our water meters will be no longer sensitive to any adjustment.
Right.
Yeah? So mm-hmm. if you have one kid, when you started without kids, after 5 years you have one kid, after 10 years you have 3 kids, there is no changes in your water meter reading.
And we all know that's not true. three children.
With three children, you need more water.
For sure.
Yes, for cleaning and whatnot. But in our record, it shows that the adjustment is not there.
I see.
So water meter is only 50 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
Please change your water meter. It's good for you. It's good for environment. It's good for nation as well. And we can change other things. Say, for example, our washing machines. Yeah, the latest washing machine use less energy, less water. We can change the way we take shower. It's not half an hour because the water is cheap. Some people take shower half an hour. When I was in university as a professor, I keep on telling my student, don't take shower and sing 5 songs while taking shower. Please sing only 1 song and then stop taking shower.
Yeah.
180 is doable if we change our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And finally, we should embark on public transport or develop a culture of walking and cycling. Over the weekend, I read a book on a philosophy of walking. Yeah, so a lot of philosophers that we know, they get inspiration, they enhance their thinking capability by walking. Yeah, there is one philosopher that I know, spend between 4 to 8 hours a day walking.
Amazing.
Yeah, by walking, he start thinking, and after walking, he start writing. So why not we create that culture? We can walk to school. I used to walk to school when I was much younger.
I'm Me too.
Yeah, it is 1 kilometer, 2 kilometer. We walk to school. You don't have to wait for bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So provided that our pedestrian safe, and that is to be enhanced as well. Mm-hmm. When a lot of people walking, hiking, there is a need for it. There is a demand for it, and then comes supply.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are asking for supply without demand. Say, for example, the hiking facilities, the cycling facilities in Putrajaya is one of the best in the world. Okay. But how many of you cycling or hiking in Putrajaya? 45 kilometers. It is half a day for you to do that.
Yeah.
So if we supply and there is no demand, that is not good. Why not? We start with demand and continuously we provide the supply side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these three things, which is very simple, energy efficiency, water conservation, and use public transport or cycling or walking to be part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you look into Malaysia as a whole, we are noted for our obesity.
Yes, we are.
We are noted for that. We are also noted for our diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to cure this, it's active lifestyle is the solution. Walking, cycling, going to the closest MRT, not by screaming for people to come to fetch you. But why not you walk? 1 kilometer is nothing.
And just to conclude, Datuk Sri, the 13th Asia Pacific Roundtable on Sustainable Consumption and Production is happening this October right here in Malaysia. And, you know, you will be speaking, I understand you will be speaking at it, and you're delivering a speech called The Way Forward, Sustaining Our Common Future, Energy and Water Security in the Envisioning of 2030. This is going to be at the plenary. I mean, just could you give us a brief brief thing of what you're going to talk about?
I want to say what I've said to you.
Okay.
So, again, sustainability require three things. I just want to conclude. One is sustainable demand, sustainable supply, and sustainable financing.
Mm-hmm.
The roundtable, the 13th roundtable, is going to talk about the consumerism, which is the demand side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And second, why demand is important here? Why consumerism? Because there are a lot of pressure for you to consume without you wanting.
For sure.
You didn't need 100 pairs of pants, say, for example,
yeah,
or clothes. But this is what you are buying. This is what you have.
Yeah.
So probably we need only about 20, 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But even in less, reality, yeah, we have you checked? Have you counted?
I've been on a personal mission to reduce my consumption. So I've stopped buying clothes. I'm on a personal mission to do that.
Yeah.
So,
but not many people understand that they keep on buying. This is my money.
Mm.
This is from my hard work. So I deserve to buy and buy and buy and buy and never stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not sustainable. I think we have to have this pressure. Therefore, if you go to many places in the world, you go to Japan, you go to Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, their house is not big. They are not expanding. We in Malaysia, we are spending. And when we reach the age of 70, we don't know what to do. Because only two of us living in the house, and then we don't have time to clean the house. We don't have energy to clean the house. And then you go back to small house, small flat, whatever. In many places in the world that I've been to, especially my colleagues, shopping is not an activity that routinely they do. Yeah, say in Malaysia, say for example, holiday means shopping, traveling means shopping, weekend means shopping. Everything is related to shopping. Shopping is part of our culture. I'm not saying shopping is not good, because otherwise we are not promoting Malaysia as a shopping paradise in the world. But we have to understand that there are limits to it. consumerism. But this is what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about not only consumerism, but also production. When there are a lot of pressure to be more sustainable green, so the production will follow through. Yes, I think they will do the same. Instead of cheap materials that can last only 3 or 2 times usage, we are talking about long term.
Yeah.
Therefore, I personally say, for example, I'm no longer buying cheap pen, ₱2, ₹3, because I need 2 cheap pen a week
for
my work. So instead, I buy fountain pen
mm-hmm.
that can last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy every 2 years once. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it means that you reduce the number of cheap production, go for more expensive production. I don't want to name the brand, but it is more sustainable in terms of environment protection.
Yeah.
If you buy cheap pens, I just give you an example. I'm very fond of, not many people now keep fountain pens, but I keep fountain pens. If you buy cheap pen, this after 1 week, you have to dispose. And as a result, our landfill will be full with
plastic.
Not only pens, but also other plastic.
Yeah.
And this is made from plastic. It will last another 200 years from now if you don't incinerate them.
Yeah. So I guess, in conclusion, everything in moderation, and invest in some good quality things and, reduce your consumption of so many other unnecessary things.
Yes, this is what we are trying to do at the round table.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
Sri.
You for inviting me. I'm very grateful to be here.
If you'd like to find out more about the work done by the Ministry of Energy, Green Technology and Water Malaysia, you can visit ketha.gov.my. That's ketha.gov.my. And as we mentioned earlier, Dr. Zaini will be speaking at the 13th Asia-Pacific Roundtable on Sustainable Consumption and Production, which is themed Enabling Sustainable Consumption and Production Towards Achieving Green Growth. It is co-hosted by the Asia-Pacific Roundtable for Sustainable Consumption and Production and NSERCH Malaysia, and will be held from the 24th till the 26th of October 2017 in Melaka. To register and for more information, do visit the NSERCH website at nsearch.org. That's ENSEARCH.org/APRSCP. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.